about planting seeds. That is what this message is about today. Imagine planting seeds for the kingdom. And before I begin, I want to talk a little bit about a seed. Anybody ever seen seeds in here? Woo, I need to back it up. Either that or I'm being beamed up. Is that okay? All right. So, you know, we do not know what happens inside of a seed once a seed is planted in the ground. It is a powerful pack of life that unfolds when it's planted in the proper soil, in the proper place, and in the right time for the growth of that particular seed. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Have you ever had a garden in your life? Anybody ever had a little pot garden where you plant everything in pots and put it around, you know, because it eliminates having to weed the flower bed, doesn't it? It eliminates a whole bunch of that stuff. But it will reduce the crop that you're going to get from it, because the roots will fill up the pot. They can't go any deeper. They can't go any farther. So we have to plant it in good soil, right? We have to give it a place to expand. So whenever we prepare to plant a garden or have flowers, we have to make a plan, don't we? I make a plan for everything that I do. I don't know. Jim's like, oh, Lord. Yes, I do. I make a plan. I have to have a plan because I have to see what's going to happen and what could happen and what's going to unfold. So what we do when we get ready to plant, we have to know what we're going to plant. You want tomatoes, squash, corn? What is it? What you want? You have to know what you're going to plant, and you have to know where you're going to plant it, when you're going to plant it, what type of seeds will grow best in the soil that you already have. I'm going to say that again. What type of seeds will grow best in the soil that you already have? Do you need to plant or sow the seeds? You know there's a difference, right? Sowing the seeds is just throwing them out there. Planting the seeds is cutting the rows, make sure they're 3 inches apart, putting them in the dirt 2 inches down, okay? That's the difference in that. So how will you get water to the plants? You're going to carry a bucket. You're going to have a hose. What are you going to do? You have to have a way to get water to the plants so that they won't die of thirst, because they do get thirsty. You have to think about the soil. Does the soil drain well? Is there an irrigation system? Is the soil going to go, water going to go down on the soil and give the seed everything that it needs to grow? Well, you need to change the layout of the land. Are you going to have to cut into the dirt with a shovel? Do you need a tractor? Do you need a hoe? What do you need? Do you need a rake? What have you got to do? You have to know what you're going to need. Do you need to put fertilizer in the ground? Is the ground not ready for the seeds, but you have to prepare it for the seeds? What type of cultivation is involved, and what tools will you need to keep the garden growing? Because many times when we plant seeds, we still have to continue cultivating the ground, right? We have to go out and dig around it and make sure there's enough soil on the top of it. I remember when my granddaddy had a 100-acre garden in Lexington, South Carolina, and us children grew up in that farm doing a lot of things. And, you know, we would go out there, and my dad would cut the rows. Actually, he gave me a push plow like Jess had up here, and I had to go out there and we push. And they might be 75 foot long. And there might be 100 rows. And we would get it done in a weekend. And it was hard. But you know what? We had to make sure that things were there that we needed for the garden. We had to make sure it was properly done. My favorite thing about being on my granddaddy's farm was him letting us ride on the back of the tractor when he was cutting the rows with the disc turner. He welded a plate across the bottom and some handles, so when us five kids stood up there, he'd have enough weight to push down in that so we could cut the rows as he was going through the garden. He put the handles up there for my grandmama because she would get mad at him if anything ever happened to us. You know, we fell off. Thank goodness, you know, that we're all still here and doing well today. That's not what I'm talking about. So, you know, just thinking about all the things we have to do to prepare to have a garden, just preparing the field makes me tired thinking about it. Come on. Many of you may be thinking the same thing because of what you just heard. Well, who would have imagined that gardening would take so much work, that it would take so much time and so much planning? I don't know, maybe you got a piece of paper out and you drew out your plot and you decided corn's going to go here and things are going to go there. You know, you grow things short in the front and tall in the back. You put sunflowers in the middle so the bees come and pollinate your ground. You make sure that there's other plants there so they keep the little critters, the other enemies away that come in to destroy the plants, like fences for the deer and the rabbit. Okay? Been there, done that. So we have to make sure that things are being protected. And the kind of planting I'm talking about today has nothing to do with those things that I just mentioned. Nothing at all. But instead, they have to do with planting kingdom seeds. And as I mentioned a few minutes ago, seeds are powerful. What happens inside of them, we don't know. But we must plant them for them to open up and do what God has called them to do. Somebody say amen. Before I begin this message this morning, I want you to look at somebody right dead in the eye. Look at them. I want you to point at them. I want you to be serious. I want you to say this. It is not about you. Ooh. Did I step on anybody's toes? I'm sorry. It's really not. It has nothing to do with me or with you. What we have to do when we are planting these seeds is we have to make sure that we get out of the way so that God's work can be done. Because it doesn't matter how much work we do, we can't outwork God, we can't outdo God, we can't outlove God, and we can't outpour as much on others as God pours on us. Amen? So, Jesus tells this parable of the sower to the multitudes. And in his story, he said that a farmer went out into his field and he sowed seeds. And some of the seeds that he threw out there fell on different types of soils. In fact, four different types of soils. He explained to the multitudes that some seeds fell on a path. And a path is something that many of us walk on many times, right? I know that whenever we go walking through the woods, there's the path when I was a kid that we wore out in the woods going down to the creek because we like to go down to the creek and play in the water. But everything that was on the path, we stepped on. So seeds that would land on the path would get stepped on, they would get crunched, they would get crushed. Or if they were on a path where people were driving cars or riding horses, guess what? The same thing would happen. Not only that, but seeds on an open path invite the birds to come and dine, right? Seeds on the path were exposed to the elements and they were unprotected by the blanket of soil that would normally give them that protection. So what would happen is when the birds would come, birds that eat seeds are called dry eaters. So they would come and they would eat up the seeds. But the problem with that was not just that they would eat the seeds, but they would have to carry the seeds off to another place where they can get water because they didn't have water there to drink that would wash the seeds down. Are you following me? So they would carry the seeds away to another place to get a drink. Sadly, seeds sown in a path do not have an opportunity to grow. Jesus then explained that some seeds fell on rocky ground. Rocky ground is a good place for some things, but not for all seeds. There's very little soil on rocky ground. So when the seeds land there, and a little bit of rain might come, and they get the sunshine, they'll root. But they'll root on the surface because there's not enough soil for the roots to get deep. There's not enough soil for the depth of the roots to grow. Now, when seeds can't get rooted, they're going to die. Why are they going to die? They're going to die because, number one, they can't take the heat. They're exposed right there in all of the elements, and they just can't take it. Amen. They don't get the nutrients that they need from the soil, and they shrivel up, and they do what? They die. That's exactly what happens. Jesus reminds us, it's like a man who hears the word and receives it with joy. But since he have no roots, he won't last long. They get excited right away because they hear the word of God, but you know, because they don't dig their roots into the soil, because they don't make a place and learn about God, they don't last long. Because when trials come their way, they fall away from God. And Jesus said this, those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and they may not be saved. Jesus then said that some seeds fell on thorny ground. I don't like thorns. Man, I don't like them. I don't like stickers. I don't like thorns. I don't like pear trees with big thorns on them. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Thorns are not your friends. Who likes blackberries? You go and you pick blackberries, what happens? Yeah, you got to wear long sleeves. You got to wear some gloves, because sometimes you have to go through those little briars to get to the blackberries. And wouldn't you know, the best ones are deep on the inside, because the birds can't get in there to eat those. But you know, you're going to be ready. Thorns are not your friend. They're just not. So what happens is, when seeds fall into this thorny ground, they get choked out by briars, and they get choked out by these particular types of bushes, because they come in, and what they do is they completely invade and take over the root system of other plants. I have this flower garden, a rose garden. It used to be so beautiful. It's not so much anymore, but they keep growing. They still grow. I just have one that doesn't. But you know, in this flower bed, I go out once a year, maybe, and I'll, maybe, I was like, we got to do something about those flowers up there. But you know, I go up and I say, okay, I got to clean up all these briars away from this rose bush. And I'll go up there, and I'm wearing my gloves, and I'm digging stuff up, and I was pulling all these briars up, and I pulled it and I yanked it up, and the whole bush came up with that yank. Because the roots from the thorns took over the entire system of the rose bush. The petals were falling off. The leaves weren't growing. It was just pitiful. But this is what happens when seeds fall in thorny ground. Thorn bushes are thick. They're rough. It's hard to cut through the stems. They get tough, and their roots are deep. Jesus said, still others, like seeds thrown among thorns, hear the word. But let worries of the life, the difficulties of wealth, and the desire for other things came in, and they choke out the word, making it unfruitful. So what happens when you have a plant that's unfruitful? It's not any good. It doesn't produce what it's supposed to produce, and you just kind of cut it down and walk away. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Sounds familiar. So, a plant that is unfruitful doesn't produce a thing, y'all. That's my favorite word. Don't produce a thing, y'all. So we want to make sure that those plants that we have are producing good fruit. Then Jesus told the multitude that some seeds fell on good ground. Look at somebody and say, we're good ground. We're good ground. No, you got to be louder. We're good ground. That's what I'm talking about. Because where the good ground is where the soil helps the crops to be more abundant. Amen. That means when the soil is good, whatever comes from that crop that is planted is going to be more than the year before. It could be 2 times more. It could be 3 times more. We don't know until we plant it, right? So, good soil allows the seeds to do exactly what a seed is going to do without even trying to give it any help. No help at all. Sometimes we try to help our houseplants out a lot, don't we? Oh, you look thirsty. And every day we go by and give it water. And we pick and we look at it one day and all the leaves are gone. And you pick it up and you go, this thing was like 20 pounds. And you take the insert out and it's full of water. We've overwatered it. God's good. So we have to make sure that what we're providing is not so much what we think the soil needs, but it's what God has already provided for us. So that when we plant seeds, whether it's in a small pot or it's in a field, that we are taking care of it and nurturing those seeds the way that God has called them to be nurtured. One thing I love about soil, and I learned this as a kid, if it's dark, and you know what I'm talking about, that dark, rich soil, when it rains, you can smell the dirt. And what I learned as a science teacher was that smelling that dirt is all of those things in that soil that is living. Everything in the soil where we plant seeds is living material, and every bit of it nurtures the seeds that are planted in the soil. And when I smell that after the rain, I'm thinking, oh, that ground is talking to me. Brings back memories. See, we don't know the miracles that take place in that soil after seeds are planted, do we? We can't see what's happening because it's not visible to our eyes. But see, God knows what's happening because it's through the power of the Holy Spirit, that through those spiritual seeds that we are planting, and sometimes we don't even know that we're planting, that something miraculous is happening deep down in the soul of a child that's coming to this church. Amen? Amen. But we must remember something about seeds and about planting, that sometimes it takes weeks before we're going to see a little sprout come up. Sometimes it's going to take months before we even see a little tiny stalk. Sometimes it's going to take 14 years. Sometimes we don't know. Sometimes it's going to take years before we see the harvest. Right? Think about it as an adult. Where are you now in your spiritual life? And where were you 10 years ago? If you can look 10 years ago and look forward to today, you say, man, I should have done that 10 years before that. So we want to make sure that what we're pouring into the soil, what we're putting over the children that are coming in their families, that we're doing it with a purpose and a passion for God and the gospel, for his word. Scriptures tell us this particular crop that was planted in this field was filled with much fruit. It had so much fruit in it. Isn't that awesome? The point of this story is that good soil is where the crops are abundant. Mark 4, 26 through 29, Jesus gave another parable about a growing seed. And I love this parable because the opening sentence begins like this. This is what the kingdom of God is like. I want you to look at somebody and say it with an attitude. This is what the kingdom of God is like. It is like fertile ground. It's like good soil. It is like everything good and holy that God pours into it. Amen? See, Jesus used the image of a man going out and just throwing seeds on the ground, reaching in his bag, and he's just walking out throwing seeds. Well, this man had no idea that this field was just going to grow, that the seeds were going to grow. And the scripture tells us that every time the man looked to the ground, the seeds were growing. Man, the man who scattered the seeds couldn't believe what he was seeing. All he did was sow the seeds, y'all. He just sowed the seeds. He didn't turn on extra lights. He didn't put fluorescent lights next to the plants so they would be dark and green. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. He didn't have to put extra water on the field. He didn't have to fertilize it. He didn't have to pull up the briar wood. He didn't have to do any of that. The seeds just grew. Imagine that. If all you had to do was sow the seeds on the ground and do like this man who did nothing. Isn't that awesome? That's an easy job right there. Not to have to do anything. But God does all the work. The story gives great importance to spiritual farmers who sow the word of God. How many spiritual farmers do we have in here today? But you know, I want to tell you this, that everything we sow is going to grow, whether negative or positive, it's going to grow. But we want to sow the word of God. We want to sow positive words. We want to sow good words. We want to sow words that are full of life, that are full of energy, that are full of the power of the Holy Spirit. That is exactly what we're going to do. The fields here that I'm talking about in this message, and you heard about in this message and what I'm going to talk about, and you're going to hear just a little bit more, are focused on children's ministry. Three fields, third Saturday, Awana, and Kid City. How many of you love children? Oh, some people aren't holding up their hands up. Somebody go back there and grab them. Okay. So we want to make sure that we are pouring into these fields. Amen? See, Third Saturday is a mission and outreach, not just for this community, but it's for the children in this community. When the children come in here, they don't come from good soil. Some do. But many don't. They come from the path They come from rocky ground, and they come from the thorny soil. So they're already coming in looking for freedom. Can I say it like that? They're looking for a place to grow. They're looking for a place where their spirits are not bound up by roots from another plant. The great thing about this place, Mosaic United Methodist Church, is that all people are important. So when those children come through the door, they're treated with the utmost importance. Amen? Amen. When I see the people lining up on third Saturday before we open the doors and after we break off from praying, I keep looking. I go over there and I look out the door. I'm like, are the kids here yet? Man, no, they're not here yet. You know, and I go back, I go, they're going to be here. Let's make sure we got everything out, everybody in their place. Last time Brittany came out of the health screening section and went over to the other side because we needed another person to help in preschool. And I know I'll get going, have we got any kids yet? Are we looking? Y'all look. I come out here and I said, are they here yet? No, they're not here yet. Well, when they get here, can you give them this? Tell them to come back here. There's a sign right there. It says Kids City that way. Because I want them to come. And when the kids come in, it's awesome for me. I don't know how it is for you, but I see these kids come in and I'm thinking, man, we need to go do some stuff. We got to get some things done. But you know, it's to me, when I see them coming in, it's like a perfect gift. See, Chris sang a little bit of, oh, come on, you know, come let us adore him this morning. And I tell you what, that's exactly what I feel like when these kids come in. I feel like they're this box, this present. You have to open it up and surprise, I got something I wasn't even expecting. You know what I'm talking about. But you know, these kids come in with such a light inside of them, and they come in with such enjoyment and excitement, and they love it when you look at them and you say, I am so glad you're here today. I'm excited that you're here. And they go, what are we going to do today? And I say, okay, well, let's get started. You know, so third Saturday is a mission for children. And it's a place where they can come in and learn about God. They learn about God through music that we play and through scripture that we read, through activities that they do, and even through our conversations. Conversations are great because you can get to know kids. And kids will believe anything you tell them. They really will. They believe what you tell them. If you tell them they're a child of God, they're like, I am? I go, yes, you are. And they go, awesome. Awesome. You tell them you love them, and they just look at you like you're crazy. Some kids don't hear that at home. They hear that here. Some children do not hear those three words at home, I love you. But they're going to hear it here. Every time they walk in the door, Jesus blessed the children. He blessed the children because they deserve to be blessed. He blessed the children because guess what? Children are the future kingdom. Children, these are the ones that are going to grow up and be dynamic leaders in the kingdom of God, and it starts here. Amen? It starts by planting the seeds deep down inside of them. Last time we had children come in, and a big group of kids came in. They were all from the same family. They sat at the table. Some of them had to bring more chairs in, and they were sitting there talking, and the little brother looked at the sister, and he called her this name. And I was like, well, I didn't see that on her name tag. You know? And I said, what is your name, honey? She told me her name, and I looked at him. I said, so this is your sister's name. You know her name, right? Yeah. I said, well, let's be polite, and let's be kind. Let's use the Christian name that was given to your sister, because that is the name that God gave her. And so if God gave her that name, then we have to call her by her name. Amen? Well, things settled down and we moved on. But you know what? Isn't it great that we can look at children and we can tell them their name? We can look at kids and we can tell them who they are in Christ. That God gave them their name because a name is important. Amen? And children are important. Every kid that comes through that back door, front door, any door, any door that we have around here, each one of them has a place here. They have a light inside of them that sometimes they don't even know that they have because they don't get to shine that light very often until they come here. You're laughing. God helps them to turn on that switch, and they light up like nothing you have ever seen in your life. It is so good that they have the opportunity to come into a Christian environment and to learn God's word, and that they can feed off of each other and enjoy each other and build each other up in the kingdom, because this is something that we are called to do, and that is to bring them up in the kingdom. And that the light that they bring in with them, if it's not so bright and not so shiny, that we can plant that seed of the Holy Spirit in them and let the Holy Spirit do the work, so that when their light begins to shine again, it's like a beacon light. Their parents will be saying, "Turn that light off in your room." And they'll say, "I can't." See, Third Saturday is a place where kids will hear about God and about his love and how much he loves them. Because you believe it or not, when kids go to a place where they feel love and they go home, things start changing in their lives, and the parents recognize there's things a little different about them because their attitude's different, or they're feeling better, or they're smiling brighter, and they're nicer to each other. The parents recognize that. I know that because I was a kid, right? You remember that. I remember going to church as a kid. I remember my kids going to church and coming home and saying, "Mama, y'all got to go to that church." Years ago. And that was what got us back in church. You never know where God's going to pull one of those kids, do you? Third Saturday is a safe place where they can come and have Christian fellowship. And Third Saturday leads straight into the Wednesday night program, Awana. And that's what it needs to be. It needs to be a fluid transition where the kids go from one place and they're getting what they need there, and they want more, so then they're coming to another place to get more so that they can learn the word of God. And Awana, they will learn scripture memorization. They learn good fellowship. They will be in worship with each other. The bottom line here is that the seeds that we plant within children are not on a path. They're not on rocky ground, and they are not in thorns. The seeds we plant children are the seeds that help them to learn about the love of Christ and to receive, when they're ready, eternal joy. When you see a baby laughing and you hear them laughing, it does something to you, doesn't it? It's like, "Oh, they're so cute." My favorite YouTube is the twins or the triplets, that one laughs and then they all laugh. And the quadruplets, I'm sorry. And they just laugh. One laughs and they all laugh. And it just made everybody in the whole house laugh. And this is what we want. We want children to be full of the eternal joy of Christ, so that when they go home and they're full of this joy, that their parents and their other family members just can't help it, and they have to have this joy too. Somebody say amen. Amen. We want children to come to Third Saturday. We want them to be a part of every children's ministry that we have in this church. Awana means approved workmen are not ashamed. 2 Timothy 2:15 says to do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. This is exactly what we want. And from Awana, we want the kids to jump on what I call the soul train, and want them to move straight from Third Saturday to Awana and then to Kid City on Sunday morning, because in Kid City is where we connect deeply with families. Kids in Kid City gives us permission to get involved in their families, gives me the opportunity to say, "I would really love to come and visit with you at your home. And what time do we eat?" No. I just figured Jesus did it. You know, I could ask thee too. Come on, Chris knows what I'm talking about. Okay. The first thing we do when we go back in Kid City is we pray. We pray about things that we need, and even about things we don't need, like they can't find their chargers or they can't find their tablets. Sometimes they pray for their cat Whiskers. That's okay. But we pray together, and then we worship. And when we worship, the kids really worship. They love it. Early on, it was like, and then get the instruments, they'll be shaking them a little bit, rolling their eyes, you know, clapping their hands a little bit. But now, I can't stop them. There is no stopping those kids. We go back there and we pray. They go, "We're going to do some worship?" I go, "Yeah." And before I say anything, they got the instruments and they're ready. You know, and they love the songs. They love the Fruit of the Spirit song. And I know I told you earlier, if you want to be a coconut, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit. That's right. Brittany knows the song. And they love other songs too, like Every Move I Make. They learn the dance moves, the hands move, they're shaping up, they're doing great. They sing Here I Am to Worship, I Got the Joy, Joy, Joy in My Heart, and the great song from Vacation Bible School, I Am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. I know it. And I tell you, they are singing. In fact, I was worried last week that Robert was going to come back there and say, hey, y'all need to simmer down. You are disturbing the congregation. Come on. I go, y'all sing louder. Because we want them to worship. See, we want to plant seeds in the kids that aren't just for a moment. We want to plant these seeds in their hearts that is for all of eternity. We don't just want to transform the child, but we want the whole family to be transformed because we know what that's like, don't we? It's a whole different story. It's a new lifestyle. It's like a whole new crop. There are many people that planted seeds before I came on board here, like Megan with Awana. Kathy Raley, Vacation Bible School. Kathy Raley was involved in preschool and children's ministries way back. Tim and Elaine, Joy, for Third Saturdays. What a wonderful job. Jess and Angie. Oh, and let's not forget Zoila and Lynette in the nursery. Because guess what? It starts in there. You take your children to them and they take care of those babies. They are awesome. They are lovely women. But you know, we have so much more to look forward to. We have a much bigger field that we are going to. Do you know that? A much bigger field. And you can see the plans back there. If they're not up here yet, they'll be up here in a second. I'm not worried about that. God is powerful. You see all this space here? Man, this is wide open. This is like going out and getting your plumbing line and stretching it out and making a bigger field so you can plant more seeds for God. Amen? Amen. See, this is what we're going into. We're going here. Do y'all hear me? We're going here. Next year this time, we're going to be in this place. Now is the time for planting, ladies and gentlemen. Now is the time to plant those seeds and continue cultivating what God has already promised for you because you've been obedient. Look what you get. God has a mighty plan. And I want you to be praying and seeking God's vision for you in Kid City. See, because that old cliche, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. We have more than one child here, folks. I want you to know that. We got a pack of kids. And they come in here needing love, needing attention, and needing the Word of God planted deep in them. They need people to tell them how much they're loved. They need people to build a relationship with them. So when they come in this door on the Sunday morning for the first time, that they're not walking into strangers. They're coming in and they're seeing people that they know. Amen? That's just the beginning. I have no idea what God's bringing because I don't know how His field is going to grow. We are making disciples of Jesus Christ. He's going to come in and serve the world. We want to plant seeds in the hearts of these children that's going to break that curse, that's going to help them to come and learn more about Christ, that they're not going to have struggling families, that we're going to raise up that generation that doesn't rebel but runs hard and heavy after God. Because Christ has a plan. See, we have a plan too, don't we? It's not always exactly what God's is. It's usually pretty good, right? But when we follow the plan of God and allow Him to take care of the seeds that are planted, it's going to be just like that field, just like that growing, that seed. And the farmer sowed the seeds, and all of a sudden the fields were growing. We didn't even know why. He didn't know why.